I don't know why they have a step for me here, but... I have to explain software to David. You see, David, the difference between software and hardware and the profitability you perceive is not inherent in the product. The difference is that hardware people have been in business a long time, and they develop establishments with all kinds of overhead and structures and marketing ideas. And software hasn't been organized to make profit for a long time, and they tend to be somewhat introverted. And they haven't thought of all the ways of spending money. So I'm all for you. Exploit it as long as you have it. But remember, the human nature, even with software people, is if I'm an organization, I got to have one of this and one of that and one of that. My own this, my own that. And I got to have a group, and I have to have a staff meeting that's filled, see? And preferably have my own building, see? And when you software people do that, then you have the same problems we're trying to solve with the hardware people. In fact, we had that idea a long time ago. When we started a business, we learned it from IBM, it appeared that you wrote the operating system in the base software once. And after that, you just mimeographed it. And so with our PDP-1, we followed IBM, the software was free, with the implication that we would support it forever free. Because we were naive software people thinking that was a theory. Turned out supporting that software was more expensive than making hardware. We're going to not take the scheduled break, see if we can get through the questions. The cookies weren't very good anyway.
Are there any left?
I just looked at them, John. And we'll get on with the questions. The first question is, in order to get $14 billion out of the AS400, IBM is reputed to have invested $3 billion in marketing. Are you willing to make a comparable marketing investment in the same return? Scares the living daylights out of me, because anybody who asks that question, I'm sure, is a typical hardware engineer who doesn't have the slightest idea what marketing means. Now, if someone said, I have a plan to take time sharing, which is the biggest part of digital business, and double it in 1 year, and here are all the marketing steps involved, here's the dollars per step, and here's what who I would staff it with, and here's what I would accomplish, and I'll double it in 1 year, boy, we'd give it to them. But giving somebody $3 billion to market, they'd print more buttons, more bumper stickers, see? Have more songs and ditties, you know. And that ain't marketing. Marketing means a lot more than just advertising. Or sometimes we think what we need is a ditty. Remember, we had a few things at one time. We had a beautiful one that said, digital has it now. The beautiful thing about that was it described what we had worked on in strategy and marketing, and we boiled it down to a theme. The theme wasn't it. It was the fact that we did have it all. See? And marketers that we call marketers don't understand it. They think we got to get that ditty. No, we don't need the ditty. We need the actual marketing. Let me tell you a little bit what I think. First of all, I think we ought to get some bunch of our people together in the woods and take them for a week and teach them what marketing is. Abbott Weiss took over the marketing job of retail, which I like to say, and I claim we will make part of the systems integration operation. And to market that, he doesn't need a theme and he doesn't need an ad. Marketing that means that he should know everything about the market. By the way, I think he's doing all these things. He should understand every way in which the retail market needs computers. He should divine what the customer needs that only we can supply. Divine is an interesting word because it kind of implies mystery. Remember, you take a witch hazel forked stick and hold it correctly and walk along, and it's supposed to bend downward suddenly where there's water underneath. And that's called a divining rod. It's discovering something not obvious, but just by serious study, intensive work, understand everything and know what that customer needs. It means talking with every one of them. It means knowing all the technology and knowing what we should offer and knowing what the customer needs. It does not mean making a market survey. Somebody told me the definition of a market survey. If you're making a market survey for a bridge, you row out in the middle of the river and count the cars going by. You'd always conclude there's no need for a bridge. Or if you, other way, we go on a bridge and count the cars going by and say, hey, it's not bad, let's build another bridge. That may not be right. Divining it means studying, worrying, thinking, talking, knowing everything and know what they really need. It then means defining the product in every single detail. The next question, which was addressed to Bill Demmer that I won't ask Bill to answer because it'll make a part of my story now, is the thing we need in VaxVMS is a better backup device and backup function. When are we going to get it? The marketers should tell the hardware people what to do. We've had developed a bad tradition in the last few years. The hardware people decide what we're going to build, and they say, marketers, whoever they are, somewhere are supposed to market what we build. Marketing divines what is needed. Now we got nice, quiet, most pleasant people in the company are the marketers. They would never tell them or anything, see? That's not the digital tradition, see? Hardware people do what they want to do, and someone else is supposed to market it. No. Marketers divine the product in every detail and make sure the hardware people make it or it's available. Key part of marketing. The marketing could be the most introverted introvert, but he gets this job done. The marketer then takes responsibility for getting that product exposed to the customer. In the case of retailing, it's not a bad problem. You know all the reasonable-sized retailers, and you know who's in trouble and who needs it. Maybe you advertise, but whatever you have to do, you get that product in front of the customer. To too many hardware people who run our marketing, if they can spend all their marketing money doing advertising the first month of the year, they got the marketing done for the year, they can take it easy. They spend it all, it's done. That's the old digital hardware type definition of marketing. Spend it on advertising, and then I'm all done? No. Define the product, get the product, and make sure the customer understands the product. And make sure he doesn't fall asleep. I saw some of you asleep. You ask why? Because my head was bobbing. No. make sure he understands the message one way or another. And there are different ways to get it. Then, when requests come in, the salespeople do the work. But the marketer is on top of everyone. He really knows it all. Abbott knows all of those people out there. He knows the trouble Marshall's is in. He knows the business we're doing with CBS. He knows when Child World was taken over by people from Toys R Us. He knows that what they need to make Child World work is the Toys R Us system that we did. He's on top of it. See? When the order comes in, he checks every week with Galati, makes sure Galati didn't forget a thing. He makes sure Galati bids right. He makes sure he knows every equivalent system we had done before. He knows every retail system we've done. And he'll tell the customer, here's the people you can come visit. Which one do you like? Which variations do you want? But we don't do anything over that we've already done. And he's in charge. And when he gets that one done, it's one more in his list of products to sell to the next one. The marketing job is broad. The marketing drives the company. The marketing is not just spending money on advertising or buttons. The marketing influences and tells the hardware people what to do, influences and tells the software people what to do, keeps track of Galati and his system, makes sure that the services are right, and above all, stays on top of the customer. Now, the person who wants to take over that time-sharing business and double it and can check off each one of those points, I love to spend money on it. And all the other things we're not doing. Piece at a time, step at a time, we budget and break it up in pieces, and I'd love to spend $3 billion to get 14. The next question is, this is a good one. I should have put this one first. Today made me feel fantastic. We have the strongest technology and service offerings ever. Commitment and action focused on profitability and accountability, solid, aggressive business initiatives, innovation, completely benchmarked products and services. What in your mind is the single largest obstacle between, this isn't so easy, obstacle between what we have and who we are and survival and success of the company we want to be? I don't believe in setting priorities. It confuses people. There's always the implication you do the one thing and it's magic. We got to do all the things. So I don't have one thing in mind. We have to do all the things, that particularly all those things involved in marketing. And then that drives all the rest. But I like the introduction to that question. I get enthusiastic even when I'm doing the talking. It seems that although services and systems integration are the strongest growth areas of the company and the industry, we continue to focus primarily on products. How will digital shift its management attention, behaviors, measurement systems to support the growth opportunity? People in systems integration and services shouldn't feel badly. They're doing quite well. It's the other areas we're concentrating on. We'll get to you, though. Looks like your handwriting. The commodity and systems integration businesses are quite different, requiring different business practices. Is digital going to allow each business to develop the business practices it needs to be successful, or will central process dominate? For example, the commodity toaster business requires announcement of the product 9 months before shipping, while the kitchen solution contract will announce it 6 months later. Will our product announcement strategy be allowed to be flexible? Yes. I think what's implied is that we have strict rules about when we announce things. And normally, we should follow them. We have a lot of reasons why we fail with our pro computer. Nobody claims that they're at fault. One of them is we announced it 9 months earlier because we said we're going to scare the competition out of the business by making the announcement 9 months early. What we did, they got ready for us in 9 months. We also skipped all the testing, so when we announced and delivered, it didn't work. There are some things that should be followed. We have to make sure we have the quality. We have to make sure it works, and in general, they should be followed. Whenever they are not pertinent, of course we will drop them. But it's always well to ask. Of course we're flexible. We're flexible in all sorts of things. And that doesn't mean you ask everybody to agree. If you want to do something, don't keep asking until you find someone to say no and say the system won't let you. Write it down. I'm the only one who can say no. Be careful, I might say yes. See, you know. What role do you see for our software developers playing in the commodity PC business? Should we look at trying to compete in that highly competitive software market or cede it to others and focus on just the networking aspects rather than the end user? I'm hoping you'll say learn to compete. The commodity business entry isn't as exciting. It says also, today's talks are a charge for me. In the software business, we normally only have reason to go into it if we have some particular advantage, an overwhelming advantage, something we're expert in. Because of the thousands of software packages for PCs out there, they're usually written by someone who's set about to be expert. And they work 24 hours a day, normally individuals or small groups, and with a gamble that they're going to get the big payoff. You don't take the latest unemployed software person and say, go out and compete in the PC business. That's a loser. You have to have something that we're particularly good at. Now, we do things in-house that we should sell. Being good technical people, we often look at the things we do in-house and say it's not as good as stuff done outside. That's not true. If we have something good, we ought to think about organizing it, presenting it, and selling it. But going in to compete with that whole market, unless we have a particular advantage in a particular area, we should stay out of it. And Dave Stone has a lot of areas in which we're particularly good, and we definitely ought to sell those. It says, in engineering now there's an aura of impossibility. New ideas facing opposition from management on the grounds of constant headcount. People don't seem to be up to hard choices of changing what we do. As a new management system develops and people are forced to look at what they're doing from a business point of view, there'll be more and more surplus people for whom we have to find jobs. And so looking and saying we can't do things because we don't have the people, that's fast disappearing. And suddenly you're going to have to discover those things you've been complaining about not being able to do because we'll have the people. Because there's something about profit analysis, it sure does show up the stupid things you're doing you can't afford. We're making major investments in creating new channels of distributions, technical OEMs, components, alliances. How does this fit in the new management system? It fits very well. Some people don't quite catch on yet, but here's how it fits. There's no magic in channels. Our goal is not to sell the channels. Our goal is to make a profit and to grow. Channels are one of the tools. And where channels help us, we do channels. Where they're not profitable, we don't do them. If you have a simple-minded view that the goal is channels, we do channels and lose our shirt. The new management system identifies whether we make profit or not. Someone may have misunderstood my comments about third-party selling of the commodity market. I didn't mean at all that third parties weren't important. Third parties are very important because they offer expertise that we can never do ourselves. Many of them are people who are expert in a particular area. Nobody else in the world will ever be that expert. And having them sell our products is important. What I did say was they have to make money on their contribution. And when it comes to a commodity like a PC or an Ace Unix workstation, which they can buy from anybody, we cannot raise our price 40% to give them a 40% discount. If there is a commodity price, they should buy that from the Ace supplier with the lowest price and then add on the cost of their services. And we love them and we'll treat them nicely and fairly, and we'll have the lowest price and the best product, and we should work together well. But we sell to them because we have the lowest price, and they may not be able to look at a list price and charge their customer for that. They make money where they make their contribution. So we love them, but that does not mean we're going to sell at a complex price with an enormously complicated discount schedule. There's another question in here, and it says, what makes you think we can sell at a low price? We give these enormous discounts and still don't sell. Haha, I'll tell you why. I was in China for digital 2 or 3 years ago and stopped at the side of the road and bought a little brass figurine. And I almost fell back into my old days of a 20-year-old sailor. I was good at negotiating with the street vendors in China when I was 20 years old. It was fun. I learned the techniques well. I'm sure I got the lowest price. And I didn't think it was quite my position to do that again, but I know how. But most of the time, I don't want to do it when I buy things. Much to Cabernetti's dismay, a few years ago I had to buy a wire printer for home. I didn't buy it from Digital. The discounted price at Digital, probably the same as Leachmere. I didn't want to negotiate and give me an extra special discount that they wasn't normal because of my position. And I didn't want them not to give me a discount. And I didn't want to spend time finding out what the bottom price was. I knew that by watching the Sunday paper for a few weeks, I'd know what the price was. And I walked to Leachmere, and I bought from Leachmere. I felt they were honest, open, I understood it, and there were no negotiations. Now, our salespeople and our marketers can prove, absolutely prove, that every one of our customers loves this crazy discount schedule. And every purchasing agent we do business with is a jerk. He doesn't want the lowest price. He wants to negotiate it down so he can tell his boss he had the lowest price. What they can't tell me is how many customers won't buy from us because we treat them like jerks. And I say, if I won't buy a printer from Digital, how many people out there won't buy from us because they don't want to negotiate and finally decide we hit our lowest price? Now, if we publish a book with all our commodity products and the street price, and there's a price for one, and like Sears Roebuck catalog, you know, you buy one pair of socks, it's $2, you pay three pairs, $5. What you bought yesterday makes no difference. What you buy tomorrow makes no difference. If you buy four pair, I don't know how it works. But it's straightforward. But I claim that if the purchasing agent and the engineer and every corporation, tiny or big, knew exactly what our price was, and if his DuPont bought 1,000 of them, he gets, 6.5% discount. Not much. Buys one, he pays the price, and gets it delivered the next day. He would trust us. If we marked the price up 40%, plan to give that to OEMs and third parties, and then negotiate away 30% step at a time, I think a lot of them are like me. We won't buy from Digital, even though we can prove everyone that bought from us always was a negotiator. And the way people buy commodities, with a number of exceptions, I know, but they pick the computer they want from the corporation they trust with their best specs or the specs they need, and they lay out what are the prices, and they buy it from the lowest. I dropped my camera. The lens was good. I needed the body. I went to New York Times Tuesday edition and went through 30 dozen New York camera stores ads, and that body cost different. I bought from the very lowest one. It was easy. I had no other reason to pick from any of them. I called them up, gave my credit card number. 3 days later came the body. New box, perfectly fine, see. No negotiation. Didn't have to explain to the clerk behind the counter how I dropped my camera. Straightforward. And that, above all, is the way people want to buy computers when they're commodity items. Now, that's why I believe we didn't sell when we give 40% discount. And the other side of that is, we didn't sell too badly either, We sold quite a few, and they were growing. Will we offer our new laptops and PCs for sale to our employees? And the answer is, we sure will. And I hope, and we plan to, and I hope it does come out that way, that we'll do it at a good price. Because we love terminals. Word processing and mail, you can't beat a terminal. But we all ought to learn more about personal computers. I don't know what you do with a laptop computer except mail. But for us, if our employees learn more, we ought to do everything we can to encourage it. John says it's a status symbol. You impress people when you're in the airplane, take it out, play games. I was in Italy last fall, and we had a Saturday afternoon free, and they took me out to the races. The race was going on the next day, and it was kind of a fun thing. Digital ran so many of the things, and one of the things Digital did was take a big long room and fill it with long benches with jacks in it, so all the reporters could go and sit in this nicely laid out room and plug their laptop computers in it and send their stories home. And I walked through that room with Bear Carlo. It wasn't quite full, but there were a lot of people there. The funniest thing was that every one of the reporters was typing one finger at a time. One had two fingers. I never could figure out how we used it. What are considerations being given to accelerated promotions for young, female, and minority employees? None. We promote people only on ability, with no prejudices. Now, indeed, we may sometimes train people a little harder for one reason or another, but promotions are only given on ability and promise. It can be that way. I thought it normally says, what are you doing about promoting old people? And with young people, you can't show prejudices. It's bad enough. Bosses are always no good, They're never the right one. They always made a mistake picking your boss. If they openly did it for some other arbitrary reason, it'd be intolerable for him. He knows I don't have any of my kids working for digital. You know, I mean, and people always wonder, they get their promotion or where they are because of me. We do everything else to help. What can we do to speed up the development and delivery of our new products? Should we be working on a crash basis? Gee, got any particular ideas? I'll jump on it. I can't do this by pronouncement, but if you got any specific ideas, we'd love to do it. In general, you know, we do very well in new products. We sometimes devastate the customers and the salesmen by having new products come out too fast. Sometimes the sales cycle is a year. A salesman works on a bunch of 6,000s, about ready to sign. He just sees it, he just tastes it, and then we come out and make an announcement on a new one. And the customer says, "Ooh, stop. Let's start the year cycle over again." The salesmen get frustrated. They're frustrated because we lower the price. We lower the price to help the salesman. The salesman said, "Why do you do that? Why do you want it so fast?" So, yes, there's some things we need. There's certain software things we need. There's certain Unix things we need. But in general, we probably have gotten too good at turning out hardware problem products. Maybe not too good at it. We're just maybe not wise. Will a new management system really be in place for fiscal 92? Will accounting and support tools be in place? It'll never be done. Always growing, always getting better. Hopefully not growing in complexity. But the majority will be done. But there's something important about the new management system that people forget.